Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, May the 28th, 2026. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you with us for the ride. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Thought we had a very good conversation there in hour number one. Those are the type of conversations I enjoy having, and that's why I enjoy taking the phone calls during the live radio show. So never hesitate to call in. It's always good to hear from you out there in the listening audience. Now, the conversation in hour number one revolved around a lot of things, and mostly city things. I think it started with the conversation in regard to the would-be fire station, the Rite Aid building on Main Street, Monday night being voted unanimously by City Council to be leased out to Goodwill for a period of 6 months, $4,000 a month, for use as a processing center. Also, the city would have an option for another 6 months of this lease if they would so choose. Now, what makes this annoying for a lot of people is because this was supposed to be the fire station, but it doesn't look like that's coming anytime soon because of the city's financial issues and lack of a bond rating. But, and again, I'm not calling anybody dishonest because I don't know the truth on a lot of these things, but I think it's the way in which things are presented that come off a little strange. And right now with this fire station thing, I'm not saying that the Goodwill did not approach Mayor Collins. And I'm not saying that the Goodwill did not realize that the building was empty and that they knew of the city's financial problems, and so they decided, hey, let's see if we can help out. Let's see if we can lease that building. I'm not saying that didn't happen, but it does sound a little strange because does the Goodwill really keep an eye on what's going on with the city? Does the Goodwill really know who owns what buildings? And it just seems odd. Let's put it that way. Now, again, maybe that's what happened. I'm not saying it didn't. This is not a news report. But it's odd. And here we are. If anybody has any thoughts on it, 740-383-9944. And then again, when you come to the idea that City Council now wants four-year terms instead of two-year terms, and they want those terms staggered, you know, it is a little disingenuous when the person proposing this legislation to send to the voters this coming fall, and their reasoning is, hey, council needs longer terms because we need longer terms to learn things. And then that person was also the person who primaried the longest serving member on council in a primary. So there you go. Go ahead, Colin.
Scott.
Yes.
Does Mr. Klein live in the city?
I believe so.
Why doesn't he run for council?
Well, there you go. And see, here's the interesting thing. There are a lot of people who live in Marion City who are actively involved, who are, you know, Terry Klein would be one of them. I think a lot of people feel Naomi. We know she lives in the 4th Ward. Tom Panett on this show, former treasurer, said he would not be opposed to running for 6th Ward. He's a Democrat. Let's see, who else is there? Kara Dyer has run in the past. She's on the school board.
She's good, too.
Right, and I don't know if that would prevent her from running for council. I don't think it would. So there's Tara Dyer would be somebody. There are a lot of, well, as long as Jason's still in the city, it's not like he can't run for third ward again. He could. There are people. So, and at large, you could run, you could live anywhere in the city and run at large. I mean, think of the people who live in the city that might be interested in this. I mean, I'm thinking of people who've run in, Corey Brown was a name that ran in the past. He never got into office, but I think he was interested. The Ratliff family, I think some of them live in the city. You know, they tend to be Democrats.
Well, they probably kind of got a nasty taste in their mouth.
Probably.
Anyway.
Probably. Teresa Lupke. Teresa Lupke is another one.
Yeah. So, you know, if I wasn't 83, I may consider it. Not.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But, no. And does the rent that Goodwill pay, does it cover what it costs the city to own that building?
You know, I'm going to say yes, but I can't guarantee it. Because here's the thing. I think one of the big things that this is doing for the city is they won't have to pay the utilities. Because they have had to pay the utilities so that the pipes don't freeze and things like that. So
I understand that, yeah.
They're out from under that. So that probably alone is helping them a great deal. And I think they would only owe the property taxes at this point because they do own the building. So I can't think that the property taxes on that building would be, what, four times six, $24,000? I can't think they'd be $24,000 a year.
Well, it's a big building, and it's a commercial building. So it might, but like I was thinking, now, if they rented that for what it costs the city to own it, then that's not a bad thing, but I would think they're getting a bargain, and I don't know. I never ever rent a building, I mean, a building like that, but I was just thinking, you know, if that paid the expenses it's cost the city, that's not, I mean, that was a smart move, but I still think all that crap should, I mean, if I was the mayor, I wouldn't spend 5 cents if the council didn't approve it.
Well, right, and that's the interest.
I don't care how much I'm allowed to spend, I wouldn't spend 5 cents or make a decision like that unless the council approved it.
Well, and I think on this one, that's what he did. Council approved it unanimously. So, you know, he got out from under this one. It wasn't.
But did they approve it before or after he had agreed to rent it?
I don't think he could agree to rent it until they approved it.
Okay, so maybe that's so. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he negotiated the deal, but I don't think it would have gone through had council not approved it.
Well, because I was saying, you know, in a way, I feel bad for him. But it seems like he just keeps digging his hole deeper and deeper. I wouldn't spend 39 cents if I hadn't brought it up before, or even the building, because now everybody's saying he could have got twice as much out of it, which I don't know if he could or not, but at least he's getting something, and I'm saying Goodwill's got the money. They could have paid more, but I don't know, and it's done. So,
well, I just think it's very, if this were done for financial purposes only, and they indeed have no money to convert this for a fire station, why, and there was, let's play it out, and let's say everything we've been told is absolutely honest, okay? Let's say Goodwill did come to the mayor, and they said, listen, we know you own this building, and we know that you don't have the money to turn it into a fire station, so we want to lease it for the course of 6 months, possibly a year. Okay, let's say that happened. Okay, let's put that there. Now, if I were mayor, and I'm not, But what I would probably do is a light would go off over my head, and I would say, oh, people want to rent this building. I'd go to the law director. I'd say, is it legal to lease this building? And the law director obviously would say yes, because he did. And then
well,
I would...
And the monkey would be on his back, right, not well, mine.
But then I would come back and I would say, you know what, Goodwill? I certainly understand, but we are in bad financial straits. So if we're going to rent this building, I'm going to put it up that we're going to have a one-year lease on this building. And anybody can lease it, and whoever is the top bidder is going to get it. Now, I'm not saying anybody else would bid for it, but you know what? I bet the rent would be more than $4,000 a month.
Well, like I say, if it meets the expense it costs us to own that building, you know, taxes included, then that's a good thing. Because obviously we're not going to put a fire station in there, probably not in my lifetime. But I just think that, you know, it's kind of like if someone tells you a tall tale once, you question everything that they do. But if I was him, I wouldn't spend 15 cents if I hadn't have brought it up to council first.
Well, see, but this is the interesting thing about council. Because, and I'm not putting this all on Mayor Collins, because he's obviously doing something here that regardless of what the numbers are, it's going to save the city money, because the building was going to sit empty for at least a year. They were going to pay the utilities. What's that?
That's not good for the building.
Not good for the building. And they were going to pay the utilities anyway. So and the property tax. So this is, for whatever it is, whatever the numbers end up being, it is going to help them financially. So that's not a bad deal. But here's the thing about it, is this is where council is, when this came up on Monday, this is where you have 9 members of council and somebody should have said, well, why don't we put this up to an open bid first and see if we can get more money?
Since we need money,
why don't we do that? And see, those questions never get asked. Now, I understand that Goodwill is a charitable organization, but trust me, look at the building on Delaware Avenue. Goodwill's got money.
It makes you wonder if you should gather up your old jeans and donate them, doesn't it?
It's retro clothes now. Well, and this is Mary, who's out there listening this morning, sent a message in. She said, why does Goodwill need the building? Goodwill needs it, they say, for a processing center, because clothes come in from a lot of different places, and they send them out to the stores, and obviously this processing center, which is what it's going to be out on Delaware Avenue, is not ready. So that's why they need it for a period of time.
Well, and don't they, when they process them, don't they bale that stuff up and ship it someplace else? I mean, they hold it for whatever, especially clothing. Now, I don't know about the other stuff, but I don't understand all the process of Goodwill. But like I said, if that lease pays all of our expenses owning that building, property tax included, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, if I was the mayor, I wouldn't spend a dime unless the council approved it.
No, and I think, you know, something I think the mayor, and I do believe that, because I can't imagine it's $24,000 in property taxes, but at least they're going to get rid of the utility bills. So the thing is, to me, is that the mayor could do a lot of goodwill if he would let us know how much was lost on the bus last year. See, if you're going to raise the bus fares on people, which obviously is going to happen July 1st, you should say, okay, the night bus lost this much money, and this is why we can't afford to run it at night anymore. Because what happens now is they go, well, it just didn't make money, and that's why we can't do it. Well, that's kind of an androgynous answer. That really doesn't tell us how much money it lost and really why you can't run it. But you know why they don't want to say? Because they took so much heat for that night bus, they don't want to say it was a terrific failure. And they,
by the way, if he would have passed that through council, or at least somebody, the monkey wouldn't all be on his back.
Well, you got that right. I mean, that's 100%. That was one of those things he did unilaterally that...
Kind of right out of the chute.
Well, that's another...
Got there.
And that's another reason people didn't like... People... See, let me just speak on this Night Moves bus one more time, because we talked about it a lot. But the reason that became a controversy, it wasn't that the buses were running at nights. The problem was, is that the mayor not only did not run it through council, he did not even alert council that it was happening.
That's when he shot himself in the foot.
Right, and that's really what the bus was all about. It wasn't so much about the bus. It was about how he handled it. And also, it was about the fact that when council said, hey, we want monthly report, well, one member of council, Jason Schauber, said, hey, we want monthly reports on how much this thing is making or losing, council said, no, don't give us reports on that. They literally voted not to get a report. And the mayor wouldn't give him reports on what was happening with that.
He didn't have to.
Right. So that put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. And
see, it's just things like that. Lesson learned. I wouldn't, if I was him, I would spend 10 cents if it hadn't been approved by the council. Then the monkey's not all on his back.
But you know what? Everybody can...
Do you think the law director who we're paying big bucks for... that he would go to him, and two heads would think, well, I don't know.
I think that law director, I think Mark Russell's making every bit of his money. He's always having to answer questions and try to figure out things. But you know something?
Well, he should. Good God, what are we paying him?
Well, I know, but I mean, he really has to shoulder the burden for a lot of this, because I don't think a lot of these people know the legalities of what's going on. And he's trying to figure out in a very difficult time for the city what is proper and what is not. And I think it's a difficult time for him. I mean,
who was auditor before,
Landon?
The guy that supposedly turned us upside down.
Kelly Carr.
Now, she never had problems, did she?
Well,
I
think she had one finding against her, but she always reconciled her books, and I think she even won the case against reconciling against her. So I think she took that to court, or took it up with the auditor upstate.
Oh, well, anyways, and it is just the times, but my message to the mayor, don't spend 5 cents if it's not approved by the council.
But by the way, this is a universal message. You know, earlier in the week, it's a much more trivial thing, but what's going on with the Popcorn Festival, in which, you know, people are angry about the acts that they have chosen and not having a country act for the first time in 45 years. And then the Popcorn Festival president responds and says, listen, you know, this is the best we could come up with, and so on and so forth. It's hard to book talent. See, this is where, if you just let things go and you don't get involved, which is what the mayor did on that bus situation, you know, he got defensive. If he would have said, council, you want a report, or if there are any council members that want a report on this bus, here it is. But people can't do that. People, it's much like the Popcorn Festival, they can't admit that they might have picked talent that people are not thrilled with, because that is a reflection on them, they feel. And I think the mayor feels that if he made a decision and people want to question it, that's a reflection on him. People take this stuff too personally. I think they don't understand that they're in the public eye and people are going to criticize it. So, you know, just get over it.
Well, but like I said, my advice to the mayor is don't spend a dime if it's not run through the council first. And then the monkey's not on just your back.
Well, we know he listens, so maybe he'll hear that. And so it's been a while since he spent anything, so that he hasn't run through council. So maybe he's taken that advice.
I hope so. Hey, thanks, Scott.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All very interesting questions today. I think it's very, very good. to have these conversations. And again, I just think people need to understand that you're making decisions that affect the public. And when you're making decisions that affect the public and involve the public, not everybody's going to love your decisions. Now, you can come out and have a conversation and explain why you made the decision you did, but you can't go on the defensive. And there is a difference than explaining and being defensive. And I'm not sure that we have balanced that correctly in the last few years. But again, the phone lines are open here. 36 coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. What do we got? 23 minutes left in the program. 740-383-9944. And should mention that Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up after me today, 10:15 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 to 1 p.m. today. You don't want to miss either one of those shows for love nor money on this station. And we would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Feel free to call on in. Why are there a lack of people willing to run for city council? I don't know. You know, it's not a big time-consuming job, I guess, on the whole. I don't know. I've never been a council person. Maybe it is a big time-consuming job. Who knows? Some people like it. Some people don't. Okay, well, there was something else I wanted to talk about this morning. We talked on the... We touched a moment there ago, again, about this popcorn festival. Minor controversy. I think it's finally dying down now that a few days have passed. But, you know, once again, if people want to complain about the entertainment that you pick, that's a normal thing. Big deal. I mean, it's okay to complain. I do think not having a country artist at the festival is probably not a great thing, because country has always been very popular in Marion, very popular in this entire area. But, you know, you can only do what you can do when you're a committee, and I guess we'll see what happens. Okay, here's something else I wanted to talk about this morning. There is, I believe, because I saw this post last night, but I'm not sure when this was posted. But there has been a gentleman, and I don't have his name in front of me, but he is working on a history of WMRN radio, which has now been around 85 years. And I was lucky enough to work there during my career and knew a lot of the people who work there, most of whom are gone now, have went on to their reward. And he put a post up on social media recently, which essentially said he is the grandson of Terry Cole, who worked there. I worked with Terry Cole. Terry Cole was a very nice man. I like Terry Cole. Matter of fact, Terry Cole was the person who taught me how to work the soundboard, because I had never ran a soundboard in my life when I came to radio, because my college degree came from education. So I had no idea how to run a soundboard, and Terry Cole taught me how to run a soundboard. So I have very good memories of Terry Cole. In any event, he's Terry Cole's grandson, and he's doing this history project on WMRN, which, again, is very admirable. But the post that he put up essentially was, this is a very personal thing with him, because it was his grandfather. And that this, a lot of this is tied up very emotionally for him, that WMRN was a great thing, and it was hard to tell from the post. I'm not sure if he's having trouble putting together an archive, or if he's just missing the fact that it no longer exists. I'm not really sure. I couldn't really tell from the post. But here's what I will say. Here are two things about WMRN from somebody who worked there. If you work there, now I'm going to try to say this very carefully, because I had a good stretch of my career there. But if you worked at WMRN, it was not exactly the wonderful environment that if you didn't work there, you might have thought it was. Now, did it have good programming? Yes. Was it local programming? Yes. Were there a lot of good broadcasters who worked there? Yes. But was it a place that you wanted to hang out at? Did the staff interact with each other a whole lot? Was it a friendly environment? Most people would probably tell you no. Now, I don't know why that was, but, you know, there was a broadcaster, very well-known broadcaster in Marion, who used to refer to WMRN, and this is somebody who had worked there, who referred to it as Brand X because of the attitudes that people had there. And I always felt that too. People didn't talk. People came in the morning and they shut their doors. And that's just how it was. And you just got used to that. Nobody really said good job. Nobody said bad job. Nobody really said anything. It was a very odd environment to be in. Now, I did become friends with a lot of people there, but it was more outside of work you would become friends with them. It didn't happen in the atmosphere of work. So I think there is a glamorized view of that place that maybe was not, it's not exactly the way it was. And I guess this leads me to my bigger point. The reason I am always hesitant, because I have a lot of history and know a lot of the people who worked at WMRN, knew them personally, who are no longer around. The reason that I don't like to get involved with history projects like that is I am always afraid, because I'm a big proponent of telling history as it is. I don't like to change it to make it sound better than it was. You know, if it was not good, I don't want to say it was good. So, here's the thing. I am hesitant to get involved with a project like this because I know this is somebody who has very warm feelings of the place because of their grandfather working there. And I also know that so many times the history of WMRN has been tilted or slanted because of the family members of people involved. See, I was lucky enough. I wasn't related to anybody who worked there, and I didn't get my job because I knew somebody. I didn't know anybody when I started there. So I think my perspective's a little different on it. But if you had a family member who worked there, or you had had a family member who worked there, I think your perspective's a little different. So again, you know, when I started at WMRN, I went around asking people, well, what do the call letters mean? Nobody knew. You got a different answer from different people. Some people said it's what Marion really needs. That's what the call letters stood for. Some people said Marion Radio News. Some people said that's what they stood for. Some people said it was Marion without the vowels. You know, nobody really knew what it stood for. Everybody thought they knew, but nobody knew. You know, and people will say, well, it was 1490 since 1940. Well, that was a slogan, but that slogan didn't come until the 1980s, and WMRN was not 1490 in 1940. They did not start out at 1490 on the dial. So, again, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I think it's great to try to compile all the history you can. I just think sometimes the stories get told in a little bit of a slanted way that aren't necessarily correct. That's all. And also, when something has been around 85 years, the people who were there when it started are long gone. And most of their families are long gone. So, who's really going to tell their story? Now, if you've got somebody who's got family advocating for you, your story might get told. But will the people who were really the big wheels in the early days who made that station float, will their story get told? Probably not. And that's unfortunate. So that's all I wanted to say about that. But that's a history thing. I try very hard to get the history right on something. And if I'm wrong, I try to come back and say it's wrong. So I think it's a very admirable project, but I don't know how accurate it can be because most people are gone and the Marianne Star didn't cover it very well. Go ahead, Colin.
What were you, was this your first job out of OSU?
No, I was teaching when I first got out of OSU.
So what job did you apply for at MRN?
I didn't apply for a job. The quick story is, I was teaching. I was not enjoying it a whole great deal. No Child Left Behind had just come in. So one day I was sitting in the teacher's lounge going through the newspaper, and the newspaper had a job. The Marianne Star had a job for a reporter. But you had to have experience or a journalism degree, and I didn't have either one of those. And I thought that'd be interesting with an English degree. That sounded like a job I would like doing. So I called OSU, and I said, hey, I've graduated recently.
MRN.
No, I called OSU. And I said, because the job was at the Marianne Star for a reporter. The one you had to have experience or a journalism degree in.
So there was no job posting at MRN?
No. So I called OSU and I said, hey, because I thought, well, I can't get experience anywhere, but I can certainly get a journalism degree because I was out of college only about a year. So I called the college and I said, hey, what classes would I have to take to get a journalism degree? And I told them why I wanted one. And they said, well, since you already have this degree in education and you're doing that, why don't you go do a 10-week unpaid internship somewhere, and we'll give you college credit for that. And if that is really what you want to do, then come back to us, and we'll work on the journalism degree. And I said, okay, that sounds good. Well, because I knew it was going to be unpaid, and I knew that I was still going to have...
MRN said, we don't have to pay you? Sure!
Well, no, I said I wanted to stay local, because I didn't want to drive anywhere if it was going to be unpaid. Because I probably would have called Channel 10, and but I didn't want to drive to Columbus if I wasn't getting paid every day. So I called the Star, and
we had internships through the Department of Photography and Cinema, and they were paid internships.
Well,
that wasn't too long after you graduated from state.
Well, OSU was just unpaid. That's what they said, unpaid internship. So I called the Marianne Star first because that was where I had seen the job application, and I called job advertisement, and I called WMRN because they were the two local places where you could work in journalism in Marion, and WMRN just called back first. So when they called back, I came in, and the first day I was there, they asked me, I think I wrote the publicity for Buckeye Chuck and filed papers. Those were the first couple days, and I thought, boy, this is really boring. On the third day, the person who was covering county commissioners did not show up. And they asked me if I'd ever been to a county commissioner meeting. I said no. They told me where it met. They sent me down there. I covered it. I came back with a story, gave it to the newsman. He read it the next day, and they said, okay, we want you to keep doing that. And then it eventually evolved into city council during that 10 weeks. And I was doing that maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And then they came back and said, hey, you've got a good voice. We need more voices on the air. Why don't you voice the stories that you're writing and the newsman can play those? And I said, oh, this is great. So I started doing that. And then I got a little pushy and I decided to go out and start doing interviews. There was a mayoral election going on that year. And I went out and interviewed all the candidates. And essentially, that's what I did for 10 weeks, and at the end of the 10 weeks, I went to the program director to get my sign-off on my internship, and I was ready to go back and get a journalism degree because I liked it, and when he came in to sign off on my paperwork, and we had never talked about this, he came in, he signed off, and he said, when can you start? And he hired me. That was it.
So you have a journalism degree from the Ohio State University?
No, never went back. Because he hired me. I thought, what do I need a journalism degree for?
Wow.
And also,
you got off cheap, man. Well, you got the deal of the century.
Well, yeah, and I never applied for a job. I didn't even know there was a job. I don't think there was, a matter of fact, to be honest with you. He just hired me. I don't think I ever filled out an application.
Gee whiz.
Right, so I mean, lucky, but yeah, that's my rant on, I think what Terry Cole's grandson is doing is great, but it was not the greatest atmosphere there, and when I heard him mentioning how great
no news agency or newsroom is,
well,
they're always competitive.
Well, it wasn't that. I could take competitive, but people just didn't talk to each other. People came in the morning, and they shut their door, and that was it. The program, I probably had, in the years I was there, I probably had 6 conversations with the program director. They just didn't
talk. That's a lot of people that don't like their job. The work environment, period.
Well, I thought it was me for a long time, but then there was another person working there, very well known, who said nobody talked to them. And then, like I said, I ran into somebody who had worked there who said they referred to it as Brand X because they did go on and work at other radio stations, and they said the atmosphere was not the same. And I was, when I went to WDCM, the atmosphere was not the same. People talked to each other. People got along fine. People came out of their offices.
What was the ownership when you were there at MRN?
It was Clear Channel.
Clear Channel?
Yep.
Well, see, we went from locally owned to a big conglomerate.
Well, yeah, but
it became corporate America.
Well, but I have an email, and again, I don't want to implicate anybody, because these people are dead now, but I have an email in here in the office on the wall somewhere. Now, I don't know that anybody would ever take the time to read it. Is it on the wall here? No, I can't find it. But anyway, there was an email on the wall here for years, and it was when I worked at WMRN, somebody sent me an email who had worked there in the past, and they were telling me how they liked what I was doing, and they thought they hadn't heard anything like that on WMRN in quite a few years, and they thought, being very nice. But then they talked about their career there, which had been during a part of the locally owned years, and they talked about how the program director was not nice to them, about how people poo-pooed the stuff that they did, about how they thought it was a bad environment.
Well, hey, that's life.
Well, it's just, I understand why Terry Cole's grandson is doing this, and I applaud him.
Is Terry Cole still with us?
No, he's not. And that's another problem. You know, I did an anniversary there, 67th anniversary, which is an odd year to do an anniversary, but I did it because I happened to be there, and also a lot of those people were getting on in years at that point. And I thought, you know, we just need to do this. I don't think we should wait for the 70th. We need to do this anniversary while people are still around. And I brought all these old personalities back in. And I look at that picture now from the 67th anniversary. Madge Cooper is gone. Terry Cole is gone. Tom Wagner's gone. Joe Ione is gone. Marianne Michaels is gone. Charlie Evers is gone. Ruth Peters is gone. 80% of the people...
Ken Charles?
Ken Charles, I don't know where he... I'm not sure if he's still around or not.
Well, at one point, he was in the San Francisco Bay Area.
But I look at that picture, and I look at all the people who are gone. So what accurate... And Bob Mason, he was gone long before that, the founder. What accurate depiction could you possibly get of that station now, with everybody who was there during the heyday gone?
Well, you know, it's like the royal family.
How, in what way?
Well, people would be amazed. There's a public persona, and then there's behind the gates.
Well, that's true. That's true. And, you know, the thing of it is that I liked my time there. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I did like my time there. But it was not the golden age of radio. It was certainly not the most fun place I ever worked. And it was...
That's the operative word.
Yeah. And it
worked.
Well, it seemed like work there. Because it was... It was just an odd atmosphere. And what I will also say is that a lot of those people were wonderful, but I don't know how you get their stories now. You know, they're gone. And
were you there when Sherry Abel was there?
No. I don't remember that name.
She was there briefly, then she went to, I think, DIF.
No, I don't remember that name. But now, if you would get one of those anniversary programs, and I don't know what... See, here's another thing. I know nobody's there now, but I recorded almost everything I did because it wasn't live. Like, a lot of the interviews I would do, I would record in the afternoon, and they would get played on the morning show, or they would get played on Morning Magazine. Most people didn't tape their stuff because they were doing it live, but I did because I wasn't live. That all existed in the computers down there. Now, I would guess they still have the same computer system. I don't know if that stuff's been erased. I hope it hasn't. But if you could go back and get...
It's probably in their archives, and it's been syndicated in little podunk radio stations around the country.
Well, I did full interviews with Marianne Michaels. I did full interviews with Charlie. I did full interviews with Madge. I did interviews with Joe Ione. I did those anniversary specials. I did do the 67th, and then I also did the 70th a few years later. And those are all about the history, and those are about the people who were involved. So, you know, it's not the full history, but it gives you some kind of... perspective from people who are... I'll tell you the one thing I would like to get of all the things I did...
I'm going to let you go because it's 10 o'clock, I think.
Well, just about... Let
so
me get this in.
Tomorrow.
All right, thanks for calling. The one thing I would like that I did at WMRN that I do not have a copy of is a Christmas special that I did... I don't remember which year it was. It would have been... I'm going to say 2010, maybe 2009, somewhere in there. But I did a Christmas special. Gallagher was on it. Phyllis Diller was on it. Helen Thomas was on it. Jane Meadows was on it. I had a copy of it once, and I loaned it to somebody, and I never got the copy back. But I wish I still had a copy of that. So I don't know if it still exists down there. Who knows? But for this day, we're all done. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Person said that. Does it keep you up at nights?
Well,
I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but somebody,